From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, May 4th. Coming up, we'll look at the struggle some families face to find care workers with special skills to support their children with disabilities. That story from our producer, Farah Anderson, in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Abortion will still be legal in the state of Illinois if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns the federal protections enshrined by the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. But Planned Parenthood of Illinois President and CEO Jennifer Welch says she expects the state would become an oasis in a Midwestern, quote, abortion desert.
If and when all of the states around us put in the abortion bans and restrictions that they have been passing through legislation, we could see as many as 30,000 additional patients here in Illinois per year.
Welch says Planned Parenthood of Illinois has anticipated this decision since former President Donald Trump installed three conservative justices on the Supreme Court. She says they're preparing for more abortion demand in Illinois when and if the final opinion is published. Many of the Republican candidates for Illinois governor are supporting the possible rollback of Roe v. Wade, with one notable exception. Hannah Ferris has more.
Businessman Gary Rabine says he welcomes the reversal of Roe and that the country must do all it can to protect the rights of the unborn. State Senator Darren Bailey says if he's elected governor, he would end taxpayer-funded abortions. Venture capitalist Jesse Sullivan wants to bring back parental notification for minors seeking abortions. Meantime, Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin did not have a statement on the ruling. Irvin has said before that he opposes abortion, but his campaign said he won't comment until after the Supreme Court's final opinion, which may not come until after the June 28th GOP primary. Former State Senator Paul Schimpf and Max Solomon are also on the ballot. I'm Hannah Ferris.
Urbana School District 116 is debating whether to keep police officers in its schools for another 3 years. Staff and students want them to stay, according to limited survey data and anecdotes from students, teachers, and administrators. Taryn Nance is the principal at Urbana High School. He says students trust the officer at his school, Chad Burnett.
Today, Officer Chad and I had to be involved with a situation with a student. And then once we got that student isolated, Officer Chad dropped down to one knee and student got de-escalated and was able to talk that through. So I think about all of the theory that I learned over the course of 10 years and I see him applying that.
District 116 added one full-time officer each to the middle and high schools in 2019 after a fight resulted in arrests and injuries. Some board members are concerned the district still does not have data to show police officers make the schools safer than more social workers would. The board plans to vote on the school resource officer program at its next meeting on May 17th. The Champaign City Council has given final approval for private security to patrol the downtown area on weekends for the rest of this year. The News Gazette reports the council voted unanimously last night to hire 5 unarmed officers from AGB Investigative Services to patrol downtown from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Despite the unanimous vote, council members said they did not want this to be a permanent arrangement. They view it as a stopgap solution until the Champaign Police Department can more consistently patrol the area. The department currently has 19 open positions. AGB officers will not carry weapons. They'll wear security uniforms and body cameras. The contract will pay AGB about $200,000. It's the same company that has provided school resource officers to the Champaign-Unifor School District this school year. Still to come, we'll meet a family in Villa Grove that's facing the shortage of specialized child care workers firsthand. That story from Farah Anderson is coming up next on 217 Today.
Ken Burns' new documentary film, Benjamin Franklin, explores the revolutionary life of one of the 18th century's most consequential and compelling personalities. Learn how Franklin's work and words unlocked the mystery of electricity and helped create the United States. The film explores a life that spanned momentous change in science, technology, literature, politics, and government. Stream this and other historical documentaries as a friend of WILL. Learn how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Families say they often need care workers with special skills to support their children with physical and intellectual disabilities. But the care industry has been losing workers for years. When the pandemic struck, the situation only got worse. Now, as Farah Anderson of the Illinois Student Newsroom reports, local families are often left to their own devices to find the care they need.
16-year-old Morgan Quigley sits inside a White House in Villa Grove, a small town south of Champaign-Urbana. He's wearing headphones and gripping a video game controller. It's 7:30 on a Wednesday morning, and Alyssa Marisi, one of Morgan's two home caretakers, has arrived to take him to school.
Hello.
Morgan challenges Alyssa to a few rounds of Fortnite, but it's not exactly a fair matchup.
Does anybody else crush you like you crush me?
No.
No one?
Morgan isn't just any teenager playing video games and trying to get out of going to school. He has both autism and epilepsy. He needs almost constant care, something his caregiver says isn't always easy, especially when she's working part-time.
We're just trying to make sure he always has somebody, but he doesn't always have somebody.
Morgan's mother, Megan, works several jobs, including massage therapy and bookkeeping, averaging about 60 hours a week. She says she works as much as she can to pay for childcare, her largest expense, which costs more than her rent, food, and utility costs combined. And she can't hire just any caretaker. She needs someone who can handle Morgan's behavior and keep him safe if he has a seizure. Once the pandemic hit, she was struggling even more.
I didn't even know how I was going to pay my bills at that point. I had nobody for almost 4 weeks at one point. It is a terribly stressful situation because being a single mom, I have to show up to work because I am the only breadwinner.
As Megan discovered, the pandemic brought a national labor shortage, forcing many workers to stay home or find jobs with more security. Data from the University of California at Berkeley shows that around 10% of childcare workers left during the pandemic. That's over 100,000 people. Brenda Eastham, the director of the University of Illinois Child Care Resource Services, says families of children with disabilities struggle to find caregivers in every single central Illinois county. But this isn't just a local problem. Julie Cashin researches child care policy at the Century Foundation, a progressive think tank in Washington, D.C. She says the care industry in America has been in crisis for decades and that parents who need specialized care are still paying more than they can afford.
The sad truth is even as parents are paying as much as they can, the people who are working in childcare, the early educators, are not being paid well. So, you know, there's this disconnect because it truly costs a lot of money to do this well.
Many families pay as much as 35% of their income for childcare. The Build Back Better Act, President Biden's sweeping infrastructure bill, sought to reduce that to 7%. But has been stalled in the U.S. Senate. Back in the town of Willow Grove, Megan is still struggling to find care for Morgan as more workers quit or just stop showing up. Now, as she prepares to pay more for care as school lets out for summer break, she says she's taking it one day at a time.
You can't look at the long term with kids like mine. You just go, okay, today we have to do this. What are we going to do tomorrow? Because if you go past tomorrow, everything falls apart.
I'm Farrah Anderson, Illinois Student Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 63 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Ferris, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, and Farrah Anderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and may the 4th be with you today.